I want to talk to you about Revelation, not the book. Matthew chapter 16. You know, if you read the Bible a lot, you'll get in Jeremiah, or you'll get into Isaiah, you'll get in some of these places. And the Bible says, and the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Or the word of the Lord came to Zerubbabel, who was going to build the temple. That simply means this, that the revelation of God for their lives and that period of time came to them to affirm in them what God has told them to do. So here we have Jesus walking in Caesarea Philippi, and for some reason, and boy, it's not insecurity, he looks at his disciples and he says in chapter 16 and verse 14, or 13 first, he asked his disciples saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He's not looking for approval. He was looking for his disciples to understand who he was. And the big deal that we face today with a lot of people is, who was this Jesus? Who is he? If someone would come to you and ask, who is this Jesus? Who do people say Jesus is? What are you going to say? Son of God. Aren't we all? The Redeemer. Messiah. What does Messiah mean?
Savior.
No, it doesn't.
Christ.
Christ. It means anointed one. Are you anointed?
Yes.
And so there's a lot of issues that we just look at and think, are we simply just taking these at face value, or is there something here that we need to find out? If Jesus was just another person who lived at that time, walked on earth, who did a few miracles, then is he worth dying for? Do we realize that all 12 disciples, including Matthias, from what I understand, were martyred? And so here's what they say. So they said, verse 14, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Okay, look at me. Any of these fit into who he was? John the Baptist said, I'm not the coming one. I'm not the Messiah. Elijah's already been taken to heaven. John the Baptist was beheaded. Right? Jeremiah had died. And so Peter, foot in mouth Peter, Peter looks at him and says, you're the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the anointed one. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus looks at him and says, Peter, I want to tell you something. Because we're going to get to another revelation Peter didn't have. I want you to know that flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. But my Father who is in heaven. Okay, look at me. If the devil can get you to deny the deity of Jesus Christ, he's shut down your spiritual walk. If the devil can make you start thinking that this Jesus is someone else rather than who he said he was, and bring about the fact that you stop believing in the fact that Jesus was very God, he wins the battle. So what do you mean? Either Jesus was who he said he was, or he's the biggest liar that ever lived. I know that sounds weird coming from a church. Because when you start saying or thinking or allowing the devil to get into our minds that he wasn't who he was, then probably he didn't do what his people said he did. And if Jesus didn't do what he said he did and what the Father commissioned him to do, where are we at today? Grace is not important then. Forgiveness is not important. Asking Christ into our lives is not important if he didn't accomplish the things that he was sent to accomplish. Now you're going to find in the day that we live, people are attacking the deity and the person of Jesus Christ. Why? Because if he is who he said he is and did what he said he did, the devil's totally, absolutely, 100% defeated. It's true. And so we need to walk around this issue very carefully, but very much faith, that I want to tell you today, Jesus is who he said he is. He did what he said he did. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. He's walking in victory. He's not in a tomb somewhere.
That's right. Amen.
And he is the Son of God.
Amen.
And as we put all that together, Jesus looks at Peter. And he says, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of God. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. But before he says that, he says, Peter, upon you I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You say, he's building the church on Peter? The Bible says that the church is built on the prophets and the apostles. Right? Ephesians chapter 2. And you know something else who the church is built on? Us. Because we've been built into that body with the apostles and the prophets into a holy temple. Into a holy temple. So Peter makes an amazing confession. What happens next? they're walking along, and Jesus starts telling him, you know, I'm going to Jerusalem, and they're going to kill me. They're going to put me in a grave. In 3 days, I'm going to rise again. And Peter says, well, praise the Lord. Not quite. He says, whoa, time out. I get who you are, but I'm not going to get what you're going to do. And he says, be it far from you, Lord. And Jesus looked at him. Remember what he just said? You didn't say this by your own knowledge. You said this by revelation of the Father. And Jesus looks at Peter and says, get behind me, Satan, for you're an offense to me. That sounds nice. Now let me ask you a question. How many have ever been in a wonderful church service? Or how many are still looking for one? Do you know the most dangerous time in your life spiritually is after you've had a revelation of God, after a wonderful church service, after you've been freed, after the Spirit of God has just touched you, and you're walking out that door, and suddenly you say something stupid. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. And so just moments apart, or seems like in here, Peter is saying, thou art the Christ, and the Christ is telling him what's going to happen, and Peter said, be it far from you. And Jesus knew where that word came from. Can I tell you something? And I know I'm just kind of, every thought you have is not from God. Is that okay? Don't think any less of me, because every thought I have is not from God. When I feel God or sense God is saying something, I check it out. That's why it's nice when I'm sitting back there to be able to come to the front and say, okay, God, is this what you're saying? But the revelation that God wants you to have, listen to me, at times is going to be challenged by Satan to see if you really believe it. And what we need to do as we walk out these doors, as God takes us someplace else, is come to a place of just praising God, thanking God, and if a negative thought comes to our mind, get rid of it.
That's right, amen.
Let it go. Because God is going to give you revelation. Now listen to me. That revelation is not for you alone. That revelation is for the body of Christ to mature, to grow it, to build it, to bring unity, to bring strength. And you may be looking at that thing and saying, well, this doesn't make sense. Since when does God have to make sense to you? I never read in here. Dwight, everything I'm going to tell you is going to make sense. Really? Well, how about this making sense? They're walking along. So the disciples come and said, Master, how come all these other people fast and your disciples don't? And Jesus looks at them very, if you put new wine into old wineskins, they're going to explode. What does that got to do with fasting? Or if you take an old piece of cloth and sew it into a new piece, it's going to tear. What does that have to do with fasting? Jesus often said things to simply challenge us, to simply challenge his disciples, because he could figure out where they were spiritually by how they answered what he asked them. How many of you know where you are spiritually? How many of us can sit down and look at this stuff in God's word and say, okay, God, that was the way it was. I want what you had. I want more than what I've got. I want an understanding spiritually of not only what you're thinking, but what you're doing. Here's something that really gets me when I think of it. The Bible says that God showed his acts to the children of Israel, but he showed his ways to Moses. Are we simply watching the acts of God and either saying, well, they kind of disappeared, or he's still doing it? Or are we really seeing the ways of God? Because I'm finding something, and you can do with this what you want. This life in Christ is so deep, it's way beyond me. And so we come to that place. Where there's a key, and there's almost a T in our walk. And for a while, I was very casual about this. No casual anymore. Jesus said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and he'll be with you always. What does always mean? Always. And so because we have the Holy Spirit with us always, there should be revelation happening that's building the kingdom of God, that we're understanding and coming to a place where we want to walk in the Holy Spirit, but that's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us time. Can I tell you something? We have the mind of Christ. The book of Revelation is not the hardest thing to uncover and unveil and understand it. Do you know what's harder than that? The walk with God. You say, what are you talking about? There are things going on in the kingdom of God. If God would pull back the veil and we would see it, we'd be blown away. But that's where God wants us. Who in the world ever told me, Dwight, there's coming a time in 2000, was this 18? In 2018, were you going to understand what God's doing? Do you want to know what's ahead of you for the rest of this year? Really? And so here's what we do. We try to understand why God does this, this, and this. And we fail to understand His amazing love, grace, and mercy to us. And we step into places that are dangerous to go. Okay, look at me. Do we realize that the Bible says something about the law that is so important? He says this: the strength of sin is the law. The strength of sin is the law, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at me. The law was the tutor that led us to Christ. The law was the teacher, and I'm not putting it down because Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy it, I came to fulfill it. And so once the law led us to Christ, it's grace that finished the thing. It's grace that finished the walk. It's grace that brought us into relationship. If we can get a hold of that. Because I couldn't for a while. Jerry would bring me these grace books and I'd feel like saying, knock it off. Look at him smile over there. And then slowly, things begin to click. Slowly. Now God is looking at you and me this morning and saying, do you really want to see the revelation that I spoke to Paul about concerning the body of Christ? Go with me to Ephesians chapter 3. And as we look at that, the Bible tells us in verse number 13. Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is for your glory. For this reason I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height. How much do you comprehend about God? Turn back a page. In verse number 15, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand. Can we begin to understand the power of God. Can we begin to realize that there's no power on earth that's comparable to the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit? You may say, why are you doing this? I'm going to tell you why I'm doing it. Because until we come to a place where we recognize what God wants to do and is doing, and we recognize that He has the power to do it through us, we're going to come up short. Let me ask you another question. How many of you are satisfied where you are with Christ? How many of you can look at your life and say, today? It's the fourth, isn't it? February 4th, I'm completely satisfied where I am spiritually with Jesus Christ. Halfway? Because as we were reading, and I was out of context there, in chapter 3, do you and do I even understand the love that God has shown us? Do we understand where God has placed us in the realm of this world according to His acceptance and love? Or are you still beating yourself up for sins of 25 years ago? When we fail to understand that February 4th, 2018 has nothing to do with February 4th, 2015. What are you talking about? Your past is not important.
That's right. That's right.
What you went through last year is not important. Why? Because the Bible says God's mercies are new every morning. Isn't that true?
Right.
Every day. So the same God that got you through 2015 will get you through 2018. The same God who knew that the world was panicking in the year 2000. How many remember that? How many of you got generators? Takes care of you today. And unless we begin to learn that He's got us this far, why do we feel He can't take us any further? Now's the time not to get careless. Now's the time to make the confession, I can do all things, I can go through all things through Christ who strengthens me. My God will supply every one of my needs, my weaknesses, my failures, my concerns, my worries, my doubts, my fears.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Yes.